Welcome to the ABC edition of Daytime Confidential, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, we discuss All My Children's Move to L.A., Kish Kisses on One Life to Live, and Spinelli asks Mac for his permission to marry Maxie. All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Jamie, welcome.
Hey.
Jillian, welcome.
What's up?
Jamie, you are the man this week. You broke the story as a rumor earlier about all my children moving to LA, and this last week, ABC confirmed the story. What is the latest?
Well, unless you've been hiding under a rock, yes.
I was just going to say that.
On Tuesday, August 4th, Brian Franz, who was in New York to make this announcement, went on set at All My Children and broke the news to the cast and crew. I hear that I actually broke it before he had the chance to jump the gun by about a good 10 minutes, but oh well, it happens. But yes, as I said last week, my sources told me this was happening. It was basically the only way to keep three soaps in production at ABC at this point. As I've said before, this is not, yes, it's a vote of confidence for all my children, but all three soaps are still in trouble. The last time a soap opera moved production to from New York to LA, it was The Brighter Day. And I think that happened, God, somewhere in the early 60s, and the show did not survive very much longer after that. Shows generally don't survive big upheaval transitions. We just saw Guiding Light go from a new production model, and the viewership dropped 25% in 6 months. I don't think it's good news. They're going to lose probably some of our more popular favorites. No one knows for sure who's going or staying at this point, but there's, TV Guide Canada's Nelson Branco reported that some of the veterans are staging a coup. Susan Lucci herself has gone on a couple of programs. I know she was on Live with Regis and Kelly, and if you read her body language and what she was saying and what she wasn't saying, it's not a done deal that she'll go.
Can the show survive without her, in your opinion?
No, I don't think All My Children can survive without Susan Lucci. I don't think they can survive at this. The show is so beat down and such a shell of itself story-wise that I don't think they can even stand to lose, some of the lesser stars that are popular. And well, by lesser, I mean less iconic, because Torsten Kay and Alicia Minshew are their most popular couple. And I'm hearing neither one of them are going to go. I'm hearing Torsten is not going to go. Alicia is newly pregnant. Her husband has several businesses in New York. That show cannot survive without Kendall and Zach and, possibly Erica. Adam, yeah. They won't bring David Kanner. They might. Well, they did report that all contract people will be offered the move. I doubt he's going to move. He's 70. He's in less than stellar health. So we're going to have an All My Children in the new year, possibly without all the few familiar faces that keep us tuning in. Darnell Williams, he's a diehard New Yorker, I'm pretty sure. I think Debbie Morgan has lived on both coasts, but who's to say we'll even have Jesse and Angie? And what do you have? We hear that the younger cast, is pumped. Younger unmarrieds and a few of the, from what I've been hearing, Jacob Young is definitely excited about going back to the West Coast. But still,
maybe
you're looking.
Could go back as Rick Forrester.
Well, you're still looking at a show that's going to be a shell of itself. And yes, there's talk that possibly some of the AMC who have left for LA in recent years might come back. But that's still going to be story wise. If Cameron Matheson, I hear, just signed a deal with Good Morning America to be a full on correspondent. He's been doing that on a recurring basis for a while now. There's talk that he might not go. I know that people love or hate him, but I'm just being real here. Who are they going to get to star on this show? I'm sorry, but they don't have any. If they lose that many people, even getting back some of the popular stars from the past, I don't know. This doesn't bode well. I predict that the ratings will bottom out shortly after this move. And for one, the main reason is they're going to do exactly what Guiding Light did and not put story first. They're going to focus on this new production model when the story is piss poor and viewers will tune out when their favorites leave. That's just my prediction.
Yeah. Well, if they listen to the CVS podcast, people may think, oh, we're schizophrenic, or if they hear us on the podcast in general and we say, you know, a show shouldn't be revolved around a star, but in that case, we're talking about stars trying to pretty much hold the show hostage on taking a pay cut. With this move, if, you know, if Susan Lucci decides not to go, then, you know, I agree. I think, you know, the show will be over. Like,
see, that's the thing, though. It's like, even these in the 80s and 90s when these people became superstars, the shows didn't revolve around them. You know, nowadays, that shows revolving around four or five people or one person just started. That's a 90s phenomenon. Yes, Erica Kane is the most popular character of All My Children, but when she was rising to those heights of popularity, the show was about four to five families, and Erica just happened to be the breakout character. I mean, it's not, you know, now in these dying days, though, I mean, a show can't afford to lose. I mean, Kelly Monaco, right. The whole Kelly Monaco rumor has sent panic throughout GH. And, you know, I remember a day when people came and went, and it never really even made huge stars came and went. And there wouldn't even be that much of a blip. But nowadays, you really can't even – anybody who might cost a show 100,000 viewers, it could send it into panic and turmoil. And but with All My Children specifically, it is the worst ABC soap in every way, except ratings. Mm-hmm. They're all pretty much neck and neck any given week. But creatively, it is hideous. I mean, Chuck Pratt has people – one of our readers, Season mentioned that she never thought, and someone else said that, someone in the industry said this to me, who would have ever thought people would be wishing for Megan McTavish? On record and say, I wish Megan McTavish was writing this show during this transition. Yes, she did some over-the-top crap, like the, you know, killing Dixie and the unabortion, but she understood how to write for the Kane women. And, I mean, it's just, Chuck Pratt has ruined, I sit there, I tried my best to watch, because I can't. I just really cannot watch All My Children anymore. It is unwatchable. Yeah. How are they going to, you know, go into this big new production model? I mean, shit in HD is still shit. And
to me, it's just a band-aid that they're putting on. They're staving off, they're fending off the inevitable, because when, you know, if some of these people, let's just say, play devil's advocate and say these people, some of these stars do not move, because Torsten Kaye said, you know, he does not want to be the type of father that is, that sees his kids on the weekend. He does not, he's not trying to do
he
that.
He said that to Carolyn Hensley in New York Daily News.
Yeah. So I think this is just, they're just stabbing off the inevitable. They're just buying. Everybody keeps saying, oh, this is great. You know, All My Children, they're doing something to save it.
I can understand why they're, I can understand, because if you're a fan of CBS daytime, and see, this is where I get, people are saying, well, Brian Franz came up with a creative way. Here's my thing. At what point, if this was a primetime show, and I'll catch hell for this, but when our favorite primetime shows start sucking in quality one season, people are ready for them to go, or ready for them to wrap it up, because we don't want to have bad memories of Sex and the City or Friends. Oh, this show ran its course. At what point do we look at a soap opera and say it's over and just let it go out gracefully? I'm sorry. Guiding Light has shown me. I don't want to see a show. I don't want to see them do whatever it takes to save a show when it means making the show unwatchable. I don't want to see a bastardized version of All My Children starring people I don't care about and models. And I just don't want it. I mean, it's become that already without Brooke and Edmund and Maria and all these other people, the real Liza. I mean, it's already that. I mean, what would be the harm or the, I mean, maybe there would be some dignity in just saying, let's let it go. I mean, that's my take on it. One Life to Live, which it sucks that One Life to Live would be the one they would make that decision for when it is brilliantly written, you know, well acted, and actually, you know, is the one. And that's my thing. I'm going to say that if you're a soap fan, if you know, of course, yes, there's different, you know, it has its ups and downs too, but I'm just going to be honest. I'm just going to spend my time wisely the next coming months and whatever, however long I'm at DC, and try to promote the shows that deserve to be saved. And for me, that's One Life to Live at ABC. GH has its ups and downs. I don't think GH is as bad as all the core diehard GH fans. You know, I love GH, and it gets on my nerves, but I think it's salvageable. But All My Children is not salvageable. And the fact that they're, you know, doing this for this show when it is just, you know, Chuck Pratt has made it unwatchable, and Julie Hannon Carruthers, I don't know. It's a vote of confidence. And Franz has basically intimated that he's committed to saving All My Children. He's never been committed to One Life to Live, except committed to fucking it up.
You know, you'd think that he would try to support the show that everybody keeps raving about, but he's just gutting.
Well, maybe if one of his buddies was running that show, you know,
it would be fucked up.
Exactly. You know, that's you know, if Guzar Pratt were running One Life to Live, I'm sure he'd be more akin to saving it. I just hope that that's what, I mean, I really hope that One Life to Live's ratings skyrocket. I don't wish All My Children bad ratings, because these are people's jobs and their lives and their livelihoods, you know, but I just hope that One Life to Live, you know, continues to rise to the top of the ratings, so that if and when Franz does decide to try to cancel it, there will be anarchy. And, you know, people will call for his head, because I was basically told that One Life to Live was just missed being canceled. If they would have gotten that Aisha Tyler show up and running, they were going to cancel One Life to Live. Now, they'll deny that, but they deny everything I report. And then they come back, and it's true. They were going to cancel One Life to Live and still keep All My Children and move it to L.A. But the Aisha Tyler show is in development hell. And it's like, that just, you know, breaks your heart as a soap fan that they would, you know, but we've seen it before. I mean, Another World got canceled in favor of keeping Sunset Beach on 6 months longer and bringing on Passions. And, you know, so we've seen it before. We've seen, and to be honest, all three of those shows sucked at the end. I mean, I love Another World, and it could have been saved because of its history, but it's last year.
You love Another World.
Along with many, many soap fans. But it's a sad day that we're, you know, this year the news has been Guiding Light canceled. As the World Turns is next. AMC's moving to LA. What is sending them on tour with Sarah Evans going to do? How about finding a writer who can write All My Children? That might be a good idea.
That's the only thing, you know, I know what this industry's all about. You still have some people you have people like us who know what it's all about, that it's dying, and then you have people that still have hope about this industry. My tiny bit of hope is with this move to LA, maybe, just maybe, while they're out there, Brian Franz on the Lolo is looking for someone to take over that show to write that show.
I doubt it. No, I'm not going to give Franz that much credit.
Yeah,
I mean, and Pratt's ratings, you know, he spiked the ratings a couple of times, you know, bringing back Eden Regal and things like that. You know, they'll attribute it to that.
Eden Regal that he called
they'll attribute it to that ridiculous tornado until the cows come home. But no, it was bringing back Eden and bringing on Tamara Braun, who was wildly popular on GH. And hopefully they'll do that again. I would love, you know, my dream for this, and I don't even know what kind of health Agnes is in. I wish Franz would go to Agnes Nixon and say, can you write me a year-long Bible? Can you, Agnes Nixon, the creator of this show, tune this shit in, watch this shit, please? I know it would probably break your heart, but can you watch it for the next month and see who I have on this canvas and write me a Bible at least a year? And maybe we can just have Chuck paint by numbers and follow it. You know, because I don't
see Brian Franz hasn't done that before. Like, you know,
well, you know, they said that he did. Well, you know, there was the talk that she did come back and basically oversee Jesse and Angie's return, which is probably why it was so brilliant. You know, but Agnes, they've got to come up with a contingency plan. Agnes is in her 80s. They can't just keep relying on Agnes to come back and fix up all these hack writers' messes every 2 to 3 years. There is an heir to Agnes Nixon out there. We see them all day online, you know. And I look at these people, and they add me on Facebook all the time. And then I'm nosy. I go on people's info page. And these soap fans are graduates of this theater program or writing school or MFA program. Soap fans are not just all sitting at the house with their I Love Ryan Lavery t-shirt on eating bonbons. There are some really smart character-driven writers and wannabe producers and people who could help save this industry, but they just continue to keep hiring. Look at the writing news we get every other week. Josh Griffith here, this one there, this, you know, David Kreisman. It's the same old revolving door of these people who have already ruined another show. And I've been told, you know, I've said it on here before why they say that is, because soap writing is such an arduous task that once you learn the skill, it's easier to bring back a hack than it is to train someone new to write, you know, to learn that really hard way of writing, because they churn out so much and it, you know, for little pay. But it's like with Hogan Sheffer, Hogan has said a million times he was not a soap writer. He knew he was a screenwriter and he knew how to write long story. They paired him with people. He would write the long story and they paired him with Gene Passanante, who knew how to write the day-to-day breakdowns and stuff like that. Why don't they do that for other people? Why don't they go find some novelists and screenwriters who at least know how to tell a story? Then you pair them with people who know the nuts and bolts of daytime. But they're not doing that there. And, you know, they're letting these burned out writers recycle old stories. And then that's what Guza's doing. I don't know what Chuck Pratt is doing. I looked at it today.
I don't think Chuck Pratt knows what Chuck Pratt is doing on that show.
It's just so cliche. Who didn't know Marion was going to – the only thing they didn't have her do is pull the gun from the bailiff. I thought she would get it from the bailiff like Carly did on GH a couple of years ago. You know, was Chuck – I don't know. But was he writing GH when Carly shot Tony? But, you know, just the same old tired shit. And, you know, that's a good way that we can lose Marion, you know. And she's going to pull a gun and fire it, and her daughter is standing right there next to the woman. I'm sorry. It's just it's someone said it's like a bad Edge of Night ripoff. It's like some wannabe murder mystery that, you know. And basically, yeah, I saw what Jay Bernard has been saying, that he thinks it's Stewart. I'm sitting here today, and I see Adam looking at Adam, quote unquote, looking at Marion and going, "Marion, it is Stewart, I guess. I don't know. I mean, it's Stewart this week. Chuck will have a new vision, you know. And decide, I don't know, but anyway, yeah. But moving back to One Life to Live and what it means for this show, they're getting a bigger studio. You know, they've been in, you know, their dressing rooms have been in the basement and have been really crappy. And Robin Strasser talked about that on her hotline, that, you know, at least she gets, you know, a bigger space, and they get a bigger space to do what they do. And you know, that show runs sometimes $1 million under budget, from what I've heard. And I just hope that Frank and Ron and the actors and writers on that show kick ass even more so than they've been doing, and they've been doing a bang up job. I mean, what we just saw this past week, the Grey Gardens, the Kish Kiss, Skylar and GG, you know, all this new, hot, interesting stuff on this show. It's better than any other show on daytime right now. And I just hope that they continue to be the little soap that could, and, you know, it'll just, the proof will be in the pudding. It's not good news for One Life to Live, though, from a corporate standpoint. This was not a vote of confidence to give them basically, you know, a studio that will be shared with The View, and for all intent and purposes, all the problems that they identified financially, yes, they run under budget, but they're still going to have to pay, you know, to store stuff and all this other stuff. So basically you're saying, we want to make All My Children more cost effective, but we really don't care if One Life to Live is.
You mentioned Torsten K earlier. If he doesn't go to All My Children, could this be a boon for One Life to Live? The other thing that I wanted to point out.
Ron would have to approve that. And who's to say he would? I mean, Franz would have to approve. Sure, I'm sure they would want him back as Cole's dad. What's his name? Patrick. I wasn't watching the show then. But I'm sure, you know, I'm sure they would. But what if Franz gets pissed off because he doesn't want to go to AMC? Who's to say he's going to let that happen? Sure. I mean, Alicia, too. I mean, my God, they could bring her on as Dorian's daughter, Cassie. I mean, that could. But I just wonder, I mean, Franz has already shown, and I heard that basically on the set of AMC, he let it all but be known that you're the soap I'm going to fight for. So who's to say if they decide we don't want to go, he might block them going to One Life to Live. I'm not, that's nothing I've heard, so, but that's just, I just see the writing on the wall of which soap Franz favors. But yeah, I mean, that would be an easy fit. I mean, hell, Susan Lucci should go. I mean, they should just have Erica Kane move to Landview and take a, you know, write a gossip column for the Banner or something. If there was a true spirit of competition where your top guy wasn't favoring two sons, then maybe that would be, you know, of course that would be a good move that some of the AMC actors could go to One Life, but they were given a week to figure this shit out.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So I just reported that. They were given a week to decide, you know, if you're going to. And, Alicia Minshew just signed a two-year contract. So who knows what's going to happen? I mean, who knows what these people are going to do? I mean, and this show, this was a desperate move. This was a, you know, something's going to get canceled or, you know, because they wouldn't have done this with this quick a turnaround time if this was just some, you know, this was a desperate last-ditch effort. Here's the thing. If Aisha Tyler's show would have been ready, we would have lost one of them and one of them would have still been moved.
We learned from Days of Our Lives last year, though, that getting rid of Deidre Hall and Drake Hogeston didn't necessarily have an impact on the ratings. I mean, ratings have actually been up since then. Losing Susan Lucci by itself may not be the nail in the coffin for All My Children, but as you pointed out, the move could be.
Days has, I don't know, to me, even though Days still has its kinks to work out, Days has a better writing, this is just me, than what Chuck Pratt is doing. Chuck Pratt is just riding by the seat of his pants. He just doesn't know what he's doing. Like today, he'll just say, okay, tomorrow Erica goes to the Congos and stops the diamond mine, stop the blood diamonds. You know, he's just riding by the seat of his pants. So I would say no. If Susan Lucci decides not to go, I think the ratings would dip. And then if Alicia Minshew and Torsten Cape decides to follow suit, I think All My Children.
And you just said a mouthful, because I'll hit on all of what the points Luke is making. Deidre Hall and Drake Hogeston, at the time that they left, were the most popular couple on Days. But they were not the only couple that had reached that stratosphere. Days has had innumerable super couples, Patch and Kayla, who we also lost, Bo and Hope, Jack and Jennifer, who have reached that John and Marlena stratosphere. And Deidre Hall joined Days of Our Lives, I think, in 1976, 1977-ish, you know, what, a good 12 years into its run. Susan Lucci has been on All My Children since the beginning. She is the face of that show. She is internationally known as Erica Kane. There have been, what, 5 R&B songs made about this woman? She is an iconic. I mean, you really can't even mention Deidre Hall in the same. I love Deidre Hall. I'm a Days fan, you know.
Yeah,
but you can't even, in terms of popularity, more people know Deidre Hall from her Lifetime TV movie than they do her soap opera. But Erica Kane is irrevocably tied to the legacy of this show. She's made fans out of Oprah, Rosie O'Donnell. If she leaves this show, it will be the biggest PR nightmare ABC Daytime has ever seen. She is the face, not only of All My Children, but of Daytime. I mean, she's Erica Kane. And you hit on the point that
I don't see Barbie making a doll for Deidre Hall. Barbie made a doll for the character of
a doll, 2 best-selling books. I mean, she is a marketing dynamo for that show, and she's its biggest ambassador and spokeswoman. They use her every time to get publicity with the cougar storyline, everything, you know. And that's the other thing you mentioned. Deidre Hall had an heir apparent that they built the show up to where when she left, Allison Sweeney has been able to be pushed to the forefront, you know, and Allison Sweeney has a primetime show. And I believe a lot of people tuned in for the train wreck and stuck around. I believe that all the bad publicity about her leaving caused people to tune in and watch Days. But if you lose Susan and Alicia, what do you have? You know, yes, they can bring back Eden, and that will definitely be a boon, but what kind of story are they going to tell for Bianca this time? I mean, are they going to make her fall in love with a hermaphrodite? You know, are they going to do whatever they can do to keep her from actually having a lesbian storyline again? I mean, what are they going to do story-wise that will be engaging and you know, to keep people interested? Because they can't keep, you know, it's kind of becoming like Dixie. They can't just keep destroying the character of Bianca over and over again, and that's what they keep doing.
I want to bring up two other points. Jamie, you and I had discussed off the podcast the whole topic of the HD studios. In the press release, they make a lot of the fact that both One Life to Live and All My Children will be upgraded. But if you really look past that, all this means is they're setting up a studio for HD so that at whenever they cancel,
it's a capital investment.
Yeah, it's a capital investment. So people saying, oh, this is going to be so great, it doesn't really mean anything in terms of the viability of the show. It just means that whatever show is filmed in that studio afterwards, it will now be in HD.
You know, if they want to do a New York talk show on that lot when it's done, like they did with after they canceled The City, they put The View there. They'll have it ready for someone to do a New York talk show. I mean, these are capital investments. It's not like this is a big vote of confidence for the soap operas. They are making sure that they will have studio space.
That's their backup plan.
You know, and they'll deny that. Now, yes, they will. They'll deny that. Oh, we want the soaps to survive.
And
you
6 months later, they'll just try to spin that sucker. We did it as much as we could, but you know, Susan Lucci didn't want to.
And you know, well, no, this
LA.
Is the thing. I believe Brian Franz does love soaps. I think he's misguided in his love. I think he's very misguided in his love. But I also think he is an executive who knows that basically realizes the writing is on the wall. Because I mean, and to be realistic and pragmatic here for a second, the soaps that we love and tout and praise and think are doing good are in trouble too. One Life to Live.
Well,
no, that's what I'm saying. It's like really the argument, if I'm a network executive and I'm thinking, okay, all these fans are like One Life to Live is blah, blah, blah. Well, we're not putting our money where our mouth is because enough of us aren't watching it to make it higher rated than the other two consistently. And, you know, we praise Y&R, but it's still in trouble. It only got a 2-year renewal. I mean, when did we go from soaps getting 5-year renewals to 2-year renewals, 18-month renewals? This entire industry is in trouble, even the ones we think are doing good. So they have to start developing something. I mean, if you think about One Life to Live, we don't want them to have a new writer. We like their writer. We like their executive producer, but their ratings are still pretty much on par with the other two. So that right there, I mean, it's almost like a losing cause. I mean, it's like what left is there to do? If Ron Carlovati and Frank Valentini aren't doing it, what more could they do? They brought back Tina. You know, we always think, oh, bring back somebody from the 80s. They brought back Tina Lord. That was the worst part of that time frame on the show.
I was so disappointed in that.
What can be done to really raise, you know, significant? I think that two soaps can still raise significant ratings, and that's with a person. And I hate for it to be like that because, you know, you hate for it to be wrapped up in an individual. If Hallmark stops developing cheesy TV movies for her and they can ever convince Vanessa Marcel to come back to GH, I think she can raise ratings. And at Y&R, if they ever got back Shamar Moore or Victoria Rao, they could get a significant bump. But I think that's pretty much, you know, that old trick, bring back the people from the old days, is pretty much Days proved that is irrelevant. I mean, they brought back everybody. And I'm hoping, you know, that in September, that it will be a different story with that. But I'm going to be honest and say why I think that could work a little bit better than Patch and Kayla. You know, and Patch and Kayla are definitely more popular, because I know we'll get crucified for that. But Patch and Kayla are definitely more popular in the history of days, you know, than Carly was. But Crystal Chappell just became the biggest star at the end of Guiding Light. So if she can bring those viewers over with her, we'll see. But I don't know, if we're in a really weird stage where I don't know what can be done to raise ratings for these soaps. I mean, the only time we see really big ratings bumps are things that we all hate, like the Rape Mans and the Tornado. I mean, what, and GH with their, we all hate it.
Shoot them up.
Or no, when they explode a building and kill a Quartermain, the ratings go up. It's like, I don't even really know what. I mean, I'm not a defeatist, but I really don't know.
Do you think Kish could do it for One Life to Live? Because unlike As the World Turns,
gay couples cause a lot of buzz, but the buzz has yet to really translate into a lot of ratings.
I agree with you there. I was just thinking about the context of Procter & Gamble basically did everything possible to not give a good Otalia storyline. Procter & Gamble did everything they could to avoid Luke or Nuke having sex or a kiss. All My Children did everything they could to take and basically dismantle Bianca as a character over the past couple years and not give her viable love interest.
And we're going to have to see what'll happen with Kish, because that just happened.
And
that's why I've been real cautious about this. I believe all the shows you mentioned at their heart wanted to tell a good gay story, but then the networks and the sponsors got involved. We have to wait and see. You know, One Life to Live just let them kiss last week. We don't know if the picketers have started yet. I mean, I hope that they don't buckle to that. But, you know, when Luke and Noah first had that wet towel fight in the kitchen, everybody went crazy. But, you know, then the pitchforkers came out. I mean, we don't know. I mean, what will happen post this? I mean, I'm sure that there are going to be some people writing in. I saw one wrote a letter to Carolyn Hensley in the last Soap Opera Digest. I don't want to see any gay people on TV. And I applaud those people who wouldn't kiss those people, because if you're playing, this person actually wrote, if you're playing a child molester, you don't really have to do that. But if you're playing a gay person and you really have to kiss, it's like, just turn off your TV, you idiot. And I don't care. You're supposed to listen to people's views, but I don't care. You were just a blithering idiot and shouldn't even be allowed pen and paper to write anybody a letter to say that. Ignorant shit. You're watching shows that have every one of the seven deadly sins being promoted every day, but you're so all fire offended by two gay people kissing, and you're basically saying it's better to play a child molester because you really don't have to molest a child. I applaud Caroline Hensley for even publishing that letter, but it's just like, yeah, those people out there are sitting at home waiting to protest. So, I mean, we don't know. I mean, hopefully One Life to Live won't buckle to that. And you know, maybe it'll be better. Maybe that there's been enough of these stories now that there won't be as decided a outcry. But I'm sure we'll get one. I'm sure we will.
Jillian, what did you think of the double wedding?
It was okay. It was all right. It wasn't something. Ooh, oh my God, I want to do my wedding like that. It was cool. It was funny. It was funny, actually.
You don't want to marry your brother-in-law.
What the fuck? Yeah, you're about to cause me to lose it on there. But no. I thought it was funny, though, when Dorian and Blair came toe up from the... They came three sheets to the wind, just tore up and blew up that wedding. I thought that was funny. I was like, here Dorian goes. I'm like, you know, if people say, oh, that's not relatable, we all know you have a family member that will do some shit like that at a wedding, at an event that's not relatable anywhere, that's not even the time or the place. And no matter how much money you have behind your name or what your status is, you can still show out. And Dorian proved that. I thought that was hilarious when she came just ripped, and when Blair trying to, you know, I guess play buffer to Dorian being torn. It just didn't even help. I thought it was funny. That was overall funny. And the part, the beats that I liked, Nora was saying her vows, and she's looking at Bo, and Bo's looking at her, and they're having the flashbacks of the kiss, and she's still a little bit pained. Like, she has this pained look on her face, as if, I'm going through this wedding. I need to go through this wedding. I don't want to do this to Clint, but I still love Bo, but I'm going to do it anyway. I like that part. It was kind of good.
Jamie, what'd you think of the fact that Stacy lost the baby?
That was kind of... I wouldn't have went that route. I mean, I would have gone the, you know, I would have had her have the kid. I always think, you know, those kind of complications are always pretty good for me. I would have had her have the kid and, you know, come between them for years to come, I guess. And I know people are like, what? But I'm slowly warming up to Stacy.
I like Stacy.
You know, Stacy is finally becoming what she could have been all along, which is that delicious soap schemer. I mean, she's, you know, her face doesn't move, but she's funny. She's got to lay off the Botox, though. I'm sorry, that girl has got to lay off the Botox. She does. Her face is like marble. You know, she's crying and it's not even moving. Yeah, she's funny. You know, Stacy, I don't know. God, it's like, I think... I've hated her so much that I don't know how I would react if she did leave, because then what would I hate on what I have to live? You know,
she has some stones to ask that girl to have an abortion, though. I'm like, girl, you have some stones.
Oh, I don't blame her. I would have done that. Come on, look at, these are soaps. Alexis, didn't she shoot a horse so that Crystal would fall off of, I mean, not shoot a horse. She shot a gun to spook that horse that made Crystal fall and have a...
I don't remember Peter picking in them for that.
No,
but,
she shot a gun, or she did something to spook a horse, and that horse knocked Crystal off, and she miscarried that baby. You know, that could never happen on soaps nowadays, because, yeah, it would be PETA. We need to call PETA and the Fetus Protection Society of America.
No, I'm just saying, Gigi has stones to really think that this girl is going to be like, okay, Gigi, I'm going to have an abortion just for you. I'm like, girl, are you high? Like, Gigi had some stones.
I don't know why Gigi felt bad when she slung her down those stairs. I would have slung her down those stairs on purpose. That's one thing that I don't like on daytime. You have these villains that just keep coming between people and doing evil things. In the old days, you had Marlena, who, when Stefano taunted her after she got her twins back, and he was like, I'm going to kidnap them again. You can't stop me. I'm Stefano. And she plugged him. You know, I'm sorry. It needs to be more people busted a cap on these villains, you know, because after a while, you know, you can only let the law take it so long before you see that this person's just going to keep trying to destroy your family. And, you know, I wish Gigi would have just slung her down the stairs on purpose. I mean, she almost let her child die. Why is she caring about this girl? And I can see, I mean, there should just be, you know, they play this like, sometimes it seems like this triangle, it could be so much better if it wasn't like played out like there's Zach, Kelly, and Slater on Saved by the Bell. I mean, none of these people strike me as adults, you know, in this storyline. They act like this is high school.
No.
And they're just like, oh my God, my sister. It's like, this isn't a high school story. Like, you are all grown-ups. I mean, you know, you're adult soap stars now. You know, it seems like I'm still watching, you know, The Last Blast on Days.
I know.
They have to play this a little more adult and not be so cheeky with it, and especially Rex. And, you know, I know Armel gave him, you know, one of her dishonorable mentions. I don't think that, I mean, that's John Paul's stick. I don't think he's not acting well, you know, because I finished watching The Week. But he's still doing that comical Rex stuff. Like when he got the reaction on his face that the boy kissed Gigi. I mean, he just played it for humor. This isn't a humorous storyline. This is like, this woman almost let your son die because she wanted you. This is not time for slapstick and hijinks. This is time for, you know, a little more meatier portrayal of these characters. And I blame that on the director. Whoever is directing that should have said cut and made him replay that scene, because he's playing it for like he's Gilligan.
I would expect the kid playing their son to have a childlike attitude, because when he said, "Oh my God, you did it with us, Stacy," I'm like, "Well, you expect that from a child." But Rex, yeah, John Paul is playing this too much like he's still in high school, and he needs
and
to Farrah check that.
Too. I mean, and yeah, she, they both like need I said, to check she's acting that. Like she's Kelly Kapowski, you know, and like someone just is gonna take Zach to the prom instead of her, and I, you know, I really like them, and I really hope that this gets better, because it's really getting hard to talk about them bad every week. But they really have got to do, because I don't think I'm not blaming the story anymore, because this is a classic soap story, you know, and in my opinion, Crystal is starting to pull up her part of the bargain.
Yeah.
So.
Because when I saw her, she just checked Gigi when Gigi came over there trying to bully her into having an abortion, and she just ho-checked Gigi. I was like, oh, shit. I'm like, what are y'all talking about with this Crystal Haunt girl?
I'd like to see her mix it up with someone else. I'd like to see Stacy mix it up with Todd Manning. I mean, they would be kindred spirits. Or
Tess and Stacy become best of friends.
Tess. Oh, no, let's not see Tess anymore.
Yeah,
the only
why are you
person
doing
on
that
show who should do multiple personalities is Erica Slezak.
That
baby does not need to do that anymore. She doesn't know where she is when she's tried to play those characters. Now, I hate to say it, I've never praised Dena Higley on anything, but when she was writing One Life to Live, Tess was interesting, but I'm sorry, that is not Ron's strong suit, those multiple personalities. They're awful when she plays them. They're just, it's ridiculous. So I hope they never show that again.
Jillian, what'd you think of the Grey Gardens tribute?
I actually thought it was funny. I laughed. I was like, oh my God, this is so funny, because, you know, someone was asking me, they're like, why is Blair sitting down thinking of this? I'm like, she's getting ripped with her. I'm like, it fits. She's getting ripped with her and she's thinking to herself, you know, I should not let the love of my life, even though I don't want to admit it, but I don't want to let the love of my life, you know, move on with someone else. I don't want that opportunity to pass me by. And she's looking in, even though she's ripped, she's still thinking about, what if I let this opportunity slip by? And she's looking at her life with Dorian in their broke down chicken shack mansion with 50,000 cats crapping behind Dorian. Picture, and it was funny and I liked it, and they were just pretty much doing a little tribute in sort of kind of a way to the real women of that. I mean, if you watch the documentary, the original, that's how they lived. So all Ron's doing is bringing that to the forefront of that. But I liked it. I thought it was funny as hell. I mean, to see Cassie DePaiva looking like I don't even know what to describe that getup what she had on. I was like, that is just broke down rich chic, I guess. When you broke, that's
broke down rich chic.
Yeah, pretty much. So I'm like, what the hell is she wearing? It looked like a bathing suit. Then when she was describing it, I was like, even though she described it and they showed her pointing out, I still don't know what the hell she had on. It was like, what the hell is that? Is that a bathing suit from like the 40s? What the hell is that? But I liked it. It was funny. I thought that was hilarious. Hilarious.
Jamie, Spinelli went and asked Mac for permission to marry Maxie. What do you think?
Some of those scenes get a little Jerry Lewis-esque to me with Spinelli. I really, you know, Spinelli's one of my favorite characters. But Mac has always hated the men in those girls' lives, but his hatred for Spinelli is almost kind of cruel and brutal in my I don't like to see Mac or Sonny in scenes with Spinelli, because it's just like, you know, Spinelli obviously has some kind of anxiety disorder or some, you know, learning disability. I don't know what it is. They did allude to it at some point that he had some kind of, maybe, I don't remember what it was, but he seems slightly autistic. I don't know, but I just find those scenes with Sonny mistreating him or Mac just really abusive, because this is just this kind, gentle spirit, and I just don't like that. I mean, Mac need to go get in Luke's face for sleeping with Felicia when they were married. He wasn't no big man then, but he can bully some little boy. You know, I don't would he rather have Maxie with? Who would he rather have Maxie with? Some of the, you know, Lucky, the cop who was strung out.
It's guilt by association.
Because he's with Jason. But,
right,
you know.
Because, I mean, when you look at them, I mean, when you do the history, when you do the math on them, when you go back, I mean, when you're with Jason, when you're in that world, it pretty much trickles. It's a ripple effect with that. And...
But that's so much hypocrisy. When Mac was once a rogue,
mercenary,
and this is the thing: how less dangerous was Robert and Anna's life? Yes, they were heroes, and saving the world. But same result: Robin grew up without her parents because they were busy saving the world, and they, you know, this girl had to believe her parents were gone. Yes, the mob is criminal. It's bad. It's wrong. It's fiction, though. This is TV. And Spinelli is only the mob's computer hacker. He's not out offing, you know, the Zakara henchmen. He's just Jason's IT person.
Well, I guess in Mac's world, it starts off being like a little entry level, but then, you know, it's a ripple effect. Jason started off as an entry level. You see he's number two, depending on which day of the week it is, number one of poor Chucky, so...
Yeah, well, you know, to me, it's like the mobsters are going to be heroes on that show. They've been heroes on that show since Luke Spencer. So, I mean, it is what it is. And I don't mind that. What I mind, the glaring thing I hate about the mob is that Jason couldn't be with the love of his life, Elizabeth, because he's in the mob and he has to sacrifice. Yet Sonny can father more children than the little old lady who lived in the shoe. And he's perfectly okay to marry and procreate. But Jason has to sacrifice being with the mother of his child. You know, why is that okay? But, I mean, and that's where it's an inconsistent mythology for me.
That is a question you need to pin and tape on the forehead of Guzzo. Why is this okay?
Oh, it's not Guza. It's Brian Fromm.
Well, you need to tape it on that big old dome of his.
Which leads into, you know, I'll help Luke with his segue. Brian Fromm wants Jason and Sam together, but Soap Opera Dodges read a report this week saying that Kelly Monaco might be being recast. Now, since then, Nancy Lee Grun and Steve Burton have tweeted denying that. And so...
And some are speculating that it might just be a contract thing or a publicity thing.
Well, if it's a contract thing, it could definitely still be real. I mean, if they've gotten serious enough, you know, we know when they do that. I mean, they did that. Y&R did that with Jess Walton. You know, it leaked out that she was sick, and next thing you know, they were looking for recasts. Now, I don't understand. Like, for me, that should only happen when somebody is. And I'm going to get slammed. And I'm going to say this in this way that hopefully the Kelly Monaco fans will know that I'm not being facetious. With Kelly Monaco in the role of Sam, I can totally admit that she's integral to the show. Because obviously our board proved this woman is very popular because she has a fan base. But without Kelly Monaco in the role of Sam, why is there a need for a Sam?
There isn't. I mean,
if Kelly leaves, then why recast Sam?
Yeah, she should leave.
I just don't. But it could have been a situation. I mean, if things broke down, you know, in the middle of some, I don't know, because I guess this is where I miss our Reagan, because I don't follow GH contracts very much. I thought Kelly Monaco had already re-signed and took a pay cut.
That's what some are saying. Some are actually alluding to maybe it's Sarah Brown. Because you know she came out swinging after that fan event.
Right.
That was great.
And she does have a year-to-year deal. So, I mean, maybe it is Sarah Brown that they need someone. But,
my
source says that they would not, that if they use Kelly Monaco's picture and said Sam McCall, they would have come up with another brunette character. They would have just made up someone, you know, from the past of the show that they wouldn't have used Sam McCall if they weren't trying to scare Kelly. So that's what I heard, that they wouldn't use the name. And, you know, Digest said that the casting call had the name Sam McCall, that they wouldn't start that kind of panic if it wasn't about Kelly's contract situation.
I hope that it's Sarah Brown.
But a lot of times, though, when they do that, they're trying to, you know, do a let's see who we can get, like with the Eva, you know, when the Eva Marcel thing, the casting call went out for a young Victoria Rowell, and so they, Lord help.
Yeah, they need to be bitch slapped for that, but I'm saying, I'm hoping it's for Claudia or something. I'm hoping
somebody made the point, and it's so funny. That might have been season two. She's good with the one-liners. I don't know.
Season is like the den mother of the comment on DC.
Shout out to
season. Shout out to season. She deserves everything she gets.
She's the unofficial podcaster here.
Somebody said something to the effect of, and if it's not season, y'all have to tell me, so I don't want to give wrong credit, but somebody wrote something like, when aren't they looking for a sexy brunette in their 30s? And I'm like, they're only really looking for one, but she won't come back.
Deuces. But I'm saying, I'm hoping it is Sarah Brown's character, because you know where I want Sarah Brown to go. I'm being biased. I want her off that show because they are just destroying that character. I mean, it wasn't as if Claudia was some paragon of virtue, but they've just ruined any beats they can have with that. They're trying to make up for it, in my opinion. They're trying to make up for the dud here and there, but I want Sarah Brown on another show. Y'all know where I want her. I want, I want her on The Young and the Restless. She needs to be saved, so I was really hoping it was her, but
you know, I wanted that too, but it just depends. I mean, she would kill there. She would kill. So
she would murder.
But I wouldn't mind Kelly Monaco. I would not mind Kelly Monaco on YNR in the same role. I would not mind.
She has too much of a baby face. She has too much of a baby face for that.
Well, I would not mind.
Anything would be an improvement over what's currently there.
And this is the thing. I mean, see, YNR has their head stuck up there behind, always trying to get these primetime actors. You know, I don't know. We will see Monday. You know, we're taping this on Sunday. This will be an interesting week in terms of this Kelly Monaco news, because Franz is basically, you know, he is hedging his bets on a J-Sam reunion being what he has promised it will be. And I give credit where credit's due. The ratings went up. You know, and I know I'm not betraying my liaison fans, but I always said if the ratings went up, I was the first to admit it. And they did. GH's ratings went up with all the buzz. And I will readily admit that's partly due. But I think the ratings would have gone up with the liaison reunion, too. I think these people are pretty much just like YNR's Ashley, Victor, Nikki, where they're fans for both women. And they're a fan, like with Brooke Taylor Ridge on Bold and the Beautiful. I think the ratings would have gone up with liaison also. I think this the bad. And, you know, and Franz isn't the only one. I've heard that Barbara Bloom favors this, you know, at YNR, I hear she favors Nick and Phyllis. But, you know, the brass at YNR think that it's Nick and Sharon are the money couple. So Brian Franz is not the only network executive. Yeah, I dog him for that because I'm partial to liaison. But the network executives, I always like to stick their head in and say which one they think is the money couple. It would be nice if they just tried to pay attention to the fans, but when it's something divided like that, I mean, the smart money is to do what Brad Bell did. I mean, not do it for 20 years because, yeah, it's getting old, but, I mean, God, you could play out Jason Sam Liz for 10 years instead of pairing, you know, two. Okay, I'm going to be honest here. I love my Rebecca Herbst. Y'all know I love her as Liz, but She was the sweet to Jason, salty. Now you've got her and Nicholas together. They're both basically the same energy, the same spirit. That's going to be like watching paint dry, her and Nicholas.
Oh, God. I thought it was just me. I'm like,
it's going to be painful to watch. You know, this boy is like Eeyore. Tyler Christopher used to be so amazing.
Oh my God, you just said Eeyore.
He is like Eeyore. He has no emotion anymore in any scene.
He's probably tired of playing the same old storyline.
I don't care.
Well, you know what? I don't. You know what? Yeah, you're right. Because I don't condone that shit. If you're tired of playing it, stop.
He just sighs all in the middle of a scene. It's like, yeah, that's gonna be real fun to watch that.
Are they going for Liz and
They're going for Liz and Nicholas.
Lucky and Nick and this chick.
I don't know. I guess all of them, the milkshake is all about not able to. I don't know.
Come back to Y&R, Greg Vaughn. Come on back to Y&R. We gonna do some.
So Sharon can have somebody else to screw.
Yeah, shit. Hell, I just want to rescue that boy. Oh, poor Greg Vaughn.
Jillian, Dante this last week, it was revealed he was an undercover cop, and the chem testing with Lulu continues. What are you thinking of the story? Because when he walked in on Johnny and Olivia, all I could think was...
That was funny.
It was funny, but at the same time, like, Olivia cowering over in the corner... They have, like...
She's embarrassed that her son caught her ass, literally ass up in the air going...
Oh, God, that is so creepy. I just couldn't even imagine.
That is... Why wouldn't she cower? What do you think she's going to do? Come on in for some coffee.
Why wouldn't she go into her bedroom, change, and come back out instead of just standing there?
I would be embarrassed. She needed to stay in
there. She was mortified.
Exactly. She knows that Johnny is going to go upside that boy's head, and she's not about to allow someone to go upside her son's head. So she had to stay there. So you stay over there. But I thought it was funny. I thought that was funny, and he's just blabbing to anybody that would listen. I just saw my mom do something so horrible. What would you feel about your mom going being out with somebody your age? I thought that was funny as hell. And the twist of him being now, see that is something that I can get behind. I find I am not, and I've never liked the fact that they've made Lucky a cop, akin of Luke Spencer being a cop and a dumb cop at that. I never liked that. I just thought that Bob Guza was just doing that to punish someone up in there. I thought that was stupid.
Well, but it would have been okay if they would have played more subtext to it, because it. After Lucky learned that Luke raped Laura, it forever changed their relationship, and he decided to go as far in the opposite direction of his father. But where GH fails, you could still be a cop and still be a viable character. GH had plenty of them. But now, in this new modern day of GH, the cops are all smucks and tools. You know, they can't solve any cases and just bluster and arrest Jason, and then Alexis or Diane comes in and gets him off. You know, back in the day when you had Frisco or Robert,
and
cops were actually viable. And I'm hoping that with Dante, we'll have that again. I hope we will have a viable cop that is a viable foil to the mobsters,
I think it's an interesting twist that they have the son of Sonny Corinthos being an undercover cop.
That's an inspired move. That is an inspired move.
That's good. That was good. I thought the irony on that.
Yeah, they have not come up with something that interesting. And I got to be honest, the mayor stuff, like, I don't like that they play Martha Byrne as this one-note cartoon villainess, but I like the mayor storyline, the mayor and the mayor's wife. It would have been better if we'd have seen the affair and all that good stuff, but it's very timely. You know, CBS has that show coming out, The Good Wife, and you know, with everything with John Edwards and his wife and Bill Clinton and Hillary, and you know, so it's very I'm proud
Mark
of them
Sanford.
For I'm proud of them for going there. I just wish we would have seen akin to the whole Bianca.
I wish it was a build up for it. I wish it was a little build up for it, but yeah, that was just why the hell is Robin so is Robin a detective now?
Well, Robin and Patrick, the medical mysteries. It's diagnosis murder.
I'm like, is this CSI GH edition? I'm like, what the hell is this?
Well,
I don't mind that, but I was like, what is
she
this?
She is her mother's daughter. I mean,
yeah. At least they're making her mother and father's child. I mean, let's not go there.
Her mother shows up on All My Children. Now, since
Oh my God, she wanna wish that on her? What'd she do to you?
Look, she had better stuff. She had better stuff her last stint on AMC.
But who was the writer behind
McTavish? If I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong.
I'm gonna say it. Look at here. Finola is a 50-year-old actress in soaps. Come on now. You trying to keep that woman from getting a paycheck. She told me to tell you she'll be out there for Chuck Pratt. Have you seen what they've done with her the last couple of... Okay. Anna Devane come back and be paired with David Hayward on a West Coast version of All My Children than have her come back and play groupie to Dr. Jesse's girl on GH again. Yes, I would. I mean,
final thoughts, Jillian?
Oh, my final thought is poor Jason Cook. I'm like, you're just out there just hoping that you're going to catch a break. I mean, we know GH tried to have a lightning strike twice with he and his on-screen partner, Christian Storms, but everybody likes Pixie. I mean, I would like, that's just me. I would like to see him in a little triangle with Lulu. Test that out, and then if it doesn't work, Jason Cook, you need to talk to Gary Tomlin to go on back to Days, because they are doing you dirty over at GH.
Jamie?
My final thought is it's going to be an interesting next 5 months with this All My Children Move business. It's going to be, once again, the soap opera is going to be behind the scenes at that show, at least.
And the casting, that's what the casting, who stays and who goes will be.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be, you know, there's going to be some casualties of this particular war, so I guess you just stay tuned.
On that note, we would encourage you to comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. Shoot us an email at podcast@daytimeconfidential.com. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
Bye.